Support for this podcast comes from Mother's Bar & Grill, your neighborhood bar and grill in Timonium and Arnold, Maryland. Serving up lunch, dinner, happy hour, and live music, plus special events all year long. Dine in, carry out, or order online for delivery. Visit mothersgrill.com.
Episode 2, Kirk and Dave, McEwen and Rather, and Mothers is coming to a halt. What are your emotions right now? I mean, this baby you built is going to be turned into something else. It'll be so strange. Your kids will ride by and be like, see that building right there? Your grandpa built that up. That was the original Mother's. Yeah. No, it wasn't. Yes, it was.
Yeah.
What are you thinking?
It's emotional for sure. It's hard. It's, you know, just thinking back to the memories. I mean, it's 28 years. It's a long time. And, you know, we're definitely... You know, it's sad. It's hard to let it go. You know, definitely wasn't maybe our first choice. We just kind of felt like we had to do it at this stage for, you know, for our mental health and you know, moving forward. So it's been emotional.
You're on the other side of it now because you were laying in bed saying, God, Kelly, I'm going to sell Mother's. What? So that was the big time. Yeah. Now you've
come to grips with it. We've come to grips with it, but now it's really hitting home.
Yeah.
You know, as we're starting to like take things off the wall and, you know, friends are asking for mementos and staff is, you know, flying in that we haven't seen in 20 years. And, you know, so now it's really hitting home and it's coming, you know, reality. And, you know, we just had our best Raven season ever and
yeah.
You know, they're killing it. So, you know, it's maybe a little regrets every now and then, but for, you know, for the future and like I said, for our mental health, I think it's the best thing and it's going to allow us to kind of regroup and move forward.
I got a couple of pint glasses out of there over the years. And so what is planned? As we sit here, January 15th, the last day is going to be Sunday, but you got a staff party coming up. That's the party. That's the party you want to go to is a staff party.
Staff knows how to party. I mean, we've had probably, you know, 3,000 people working there over the last, you know, 28 years, maybe more. Some of them have become like family and that, you know, we're so close with still, even though they haven't worked there in 20 years.
Right.
And, you know, one of our, you know, original guys came in with his son this weekend, Brian Minatoli, you know, great guy, met his wife there. Now they have, you know, she was a server, Lisa, and now they have kids and she's like a principal of a elementary school and he's a captain in the fire department.
Mm-hmm.
Just great people that we're just, you know, lucky to know and lucky that we were playing a small part to bring them together and create a family. And, you know, that stuff's really cool. So the party, you know, to get all these old staff members that, you know, love Mothers as much as we do and really was a huge part of their life. It, you know, that's what really hits home for us is how important Mothers was for the staff and the customers, and it became a home away from home. And so we're going to just do an open bar party for them and food and just let them get after it on Friday night. Mm. And then Saturday, we're going to, you know, have some live music, the Dancing Bears, Grateful Dead tribute
They're
band.
So good.
They're
Saw
great.
Saw them at Trifecta.
Yeah.
And I was glued. I couldn't move.
Yeah.
They really brought it. And so they'll be there.
Yeah.
Are Naptown, they the headliners or?
They're the headliners. And then Naptown Brass Band, mm-hmm. which is a second line, you know, brass band.
That means horns, people.
That's all horns and drums. And they were taught by a good friend of mine, Kirk Joseph from New Orleans. He mentored them. And they play great New Orleans Mardi Gras music and brass band music. But they're from Annapolis. And they're a lot of fun. And they're going to kick it off, too. So
you
have two of my favorites.
you heard it, Kirk Joseph, which is on the menu, and we'll get to that later on in the, in the podcast. To be a name on the menu, it doesn't happen for everybody. But let's talk about this heart attack on a plate thing.
Yeah.
I don't remember it. Maybe I was in Tampa at the time. Maybe I wasn't paying attention and didn't order it because it looked too extravagant or too rich or crazy for me. But can you explain it? Because it's something that doesn't show up all the time, every now and then. But again, I've not seen it.
Yeah.
And we were talking about it off air earlier.
Well, we're talking about how, you know, we get inspiration from different restaurants around the world.
Yes.
And mainly, you know, New Orleans, because we go there so often and we love it. But one of our favorite restaurants, Giacomo's Uptown on Oak Street, has this great item called the Heart Attack on a Plate. And it was a fried roast beef po' boy. Very decadent, very filling, very good. And so we want to take a little bit of that inspiration, and we came up with a heart attack on a plate, but it was a deep-fried burger stuffed with cheddar cheese.
I'm a heart attack on a bed. I don't need a heart attack on a plate.
So it's, you know, beer-battered, you know, beer-battered and fried, stuffed with cheddar cheese. Oh. I mean, it's very decadent and so good. I used to try it. I used to eat maybe half of it, half of a you know, burger.
This thing won an award.
Yeah, well, it won on the in the Food Network, you know, top 50 burgers in the country and number one burger in Maryland.
That's crazy.
So that was really cool. And then the Today Show picked it up from New York, and they asked us to come up and make it live.
The Today Show. Who was the host? Was that Matt Lauer at the time?
Yeah, yes, Matt Lauer.
He's run into some troubles lately.
Yeah, yeah.
He knows a good burger when he sees one.
Yeah, and there was two other guys there, and you know they did a taste test with all the announcers and then all the crew, and it was a lot of fun. My brother, you know, was doing the cooking, and it was just great exposure for us, so that was cool.
What about drive-ins, diners, and dives? But you're not either of any of those.
Yeah, I've never, you know, gotten any reach from them, and you know, it's a great show and super cool.
That's a Jimmy's Famous.
Jimmy's Famous
or
been
the Pit
on
Beef,
there.
Pit Beef guy.
Yeah, Chaps.
Yes,
and they also another one of our favorite restaurants, Scyther's in New Orleans. They were there. They did a whole episode there. That's a really cool spot.
Hey. Let me ask you, I mean, there's so many great items on the menu at Mother's, but it's not like a diner where you're flipping pages and there's too many items. How do you decide that's enough, that's too much, we need to pull something? How does the menu evolve?
That's a really good question. You know, we have a large menu, and probably especially for the size of the kitchen in Federal Hill, it was too big for the size of our kitchen. But everything was you know, eaten. It wasn't like there was items that nobody ever ordered. Maybe like the vegetarian item that you kind of have to have to keep them happy.
Am I going to go to Mother's and order a vegetarian?
I mean,
I don't think so.
Some
but
people
you know,
do.
Yeah, you bring your sister or somebody who's got the vegan thing going.
Yeah, exactly. And so, you know, we want to appeal to everybody. So that's why the menu's so big, and we cross use a lot of items. So one menu item might get used three different times, you know, that product. So we, you know, don't have to bring in a new new food item for every menu item. And then we just try to spread it out where we have enough chicken, we have, you know, beef, we have salads, sandwiches.
God, I'd be terrible at that.
And, you know, we've tried to cut it down over the years because it's about 80 items, which is a lot.
Yeah.
And most restaurants don't do that much. But everything really sells, and it's just, I think, part of our brand. And so we've stuck with it. Then we've got, you know, specials on top of it. So it's a really large menu. You know, we things that stay on are favorites, but also are easy to produce.
And we're going to get to those because it's almost like you're an all-pro. If you're like somebody... If you're a menu item and you're still there all the time, I ain't a heart attack on a plate, bro. I don't just come and go.
Yeah.
I'm here. I'm like the jambalaya or the chicken wings. Are you a flat or are you a drummy guy?
I like boneless, but I'm a drum guy. I'm a drum guy.
My kids, it's funny. Kids these days don't want to eat the bones because they know that there's a – it could be a dead animal on the other side of that.
Yeah.
And maybe you've got a little something.
I just like it's just easier, you know, and you don't have as much mass. You can use a knife.
Yeah.
and all that. But I like the drumsticks, and you know, I love our blue cheese. As I said last time, our blue cheese is incredible, and that's what really makes wings for me.
You know, that's mold, everybody. Blue cheese.
It is.
People,
it is
mold. Yeah, they're up on that now. But, yeah. So this is going to be. It's a crazy end. You had a card game the other night. Is that something that was a staple through the years?
Yeah, we would play poker, a little Texas Hold'em through the years, and we just got one last game together. That was cool. Sunday's going to be our last day. We're going to do a pajama brunch in the morning, and then the Ravens game in the evening. So we're going to end out with the Ravens playoff game. So that'll be fun.
You know what I think is pretty cool is that. Bill Hsu owns Primo Restaurant in Pasadena. He mm-hmm. also owns Twain's Tavern. And he went to this other restaurant that opened up and put a review on Facebook. And somebody said, wow, you own these two bars or restaurants and you're reviewing other places. And he said, there's room for everybody. And you got like Scunny on your menu,
yeah.
who is a competitor, yeah. you know, God rest his soul. But you know what I mean? I would love to get a picture of you and John Minidakis and Scunny and you know what I mean? Just a picture of these guys, Ron Furman from Max's.
Bill Larney. Together.
You know what yeah. I mean? Like these guys that were really instrumental in propping these bars and giving Baltimore a flavor.
Yeah.
If that means anything.
No, it does. And, you know, yeah, obviously we have respect for people that have worked in this industry, you know, their whole life and devoted everything to it. And, you know, it's not easy.
It isn't.
And it's, you know, 18 hours a day, 7 days a week. It just never stops. So it was sad to lose Scunny. And, you know, we wanted to.
Nacho Mamas.
From Nacho Mamas. And, you know, they're closing. I think they just closed.
And, they're keeping a couple of the satellite stores.
Mamas on the Half Mills. Show. Mamas yes. on the Half Show are mm-hmm. staying open. So, you know, it was sad to lose him, and we just wanted to, you know, remember him. And, you know, that's what we do, you know, on the menu.
That's a beautiful thing, Dave. Yeah. I mean, you know, yeah. I bet his people reached out when you first did it. Like, yeah. that's pretty cool that you put Scunny on your yeah. menu, yeah. I think.
Yeah.
And they're a proud family.
Yeah.
And,
they've been doing it a long time.
Yeah.
Long time.
Girl and I went to Towson. That's where I got up and sang, when I get home at night, you wouldn't make love to me. Yeah. She was like, give it to me, baby. I put that on, you didn't see it on the Facebook?
I didn't see that. No.
Yeah, yeah. Listen, man, we've got a lot to talk about. We're yeah. just sitting down here at Stages. What a great place.
Awesome.
And,
place.
Thanks for letting me come along on
thanks
the journey,
for doing
man.
It,
we
man.
Got
it's
Orioles
an honor to
and
have
Ravens.
You.
Hey, man, an honor to have you have me. Orioles, Ravens, California Wildfires, and more. We'll get into everything on this edition of the Mother's Podcast.
Support for this podcast comes from Further Insights, a data-driven marketing firm helping small businesses grow with smart content automation and targeted ad campaigns. Learn more at furtherinsights.com.
I'm down on Punk Funk. I was just singing some Rick James a little while ago.
Love Rick James.
Cocaine's a hell of a drug. I mean,
Rick James, bitch.
Yeah, that was Charlie Murphy.
Charlie Murphy. That story is legendary. God, yeah. He passed.
Charlie Murphy passed. And Rick James.
And Rick James.
Because cocaine is a hell of a drug. Did you ever, I mean, I know that your kids may be watching. I've done cocaine. I will never do cocaine again. I mean, not because I didn't enjoy it and love to see my heart running next to the car while I'm driving down the street, but because of the fentanyl. I mean, it made it so much scarier.
It's scary times out there.
Yeah,
I tell my kids, like, you know, you're going to experiment or you're going to try something, you got to test it for fentanyl. I mean,
yeah,
it's scary.
Is there, can you go to Walmart and get a test?
Yeah,
and
you can get testers.
So you can throw your blow on some table and try it out for fentanyl. Ah, man, it's so much less sexy when you have to do that at the party. But it's almost like dancing through the mines, you know. I'm surprised I'm still here. The things that we did, growing up. But
when you're young, you can get away with more.
Yeah,
you bounce back quicker. I've always loved cannabis. That's you know my thing, and you know I kind of look at it as medicine. So,
how old were you when you listen? You know what's so strange is cannabis. It's now medicinal, but it still has a stigma, definitely. And people smell it, and it's like, oh, you're doing something wrong.
Yeah, something wrong.
Well, and I do the Ravens pregame show, and right around 20 minutes to kick off, there's a waft that comes through the tent that we're in, and it smells like somebody's doing something criminal. But it's not. But do you understand the juxtaposition?
It's a weird time. I mean, you know, I can remember being in college, and, you know, if you had any Deadhead stickers on your car, you were getting searched, and you know, and there was the war on drugs, and just cannabis was you know super bad, and you know they were coming after it hard, and now it's socially acceptable, and everybody's doing it from the older generation to you know 21-year-old college kids, and you know it. I think it's a good thing.
It's better than drinking.
It's better than drinking. It's better for me. You know, just it's a high stress job running your own business, having three businesses. So I think it's allowed me to just deal with the stress easier and just, you know, live a little more of a chill, relaxed life.
My buddy, comedian, I forget his name at the time, his first name, Neil, but the police came to his car and he said, "Do you mind if we search your car for drugs?" He said, "Go ahead. I've been searching his car for drugs for years and I can't find anything. So have at it." Yeah. But music wise, where does Little Feat play for you? I mean, they're sort of a Southern band, not really Southern rock, but, you know, Feats Don't Fail Me Now.
Love Little Feat. Love Little Feat. Saw him at Towson University back when I was in
with
college.
With Lowell George?
No, that was post-Lowell.
I was 12 or 13 when he died.
Yeah.
I was on my way back from South Carolina. My mother would take us down there every year to hang with people that were Uncle Roger and Aunt whatever her name was. And they weren't really your uncle and aunt. You know what I mean? They were friends. Yeah. But yeah, we were driving back home and it said, somebody broke in and said, Lowell George has died. I was 12.
And you remember
and it affected me because when my brother, who was a disc jockey, played Little Feat around the house. Cool. You know, Dixie Chicken and all that.
Yeah, I love it. I love their live stuff. Love Lowell George. Love Little Feat. That's definitely in my wheelhouse.
Is the Grateful Dead your favorite band?
I would say probably my favorite band. Those and the Meters from New Orleans are probably my top two.
How did you get onto the Meters? That seems like almost PhD music for a young guy. Later in life did you find it?
I went to first they came to Max's.
Not the Funky Meters, the Meters.
Well, it was the original Meters, then they turned into the Funky Meters. But they played at Max's on Halloween night. Back when it was doing live music.
You booked that?
I didn't book it. I went. Dave Geller booked it.
Geller presents.
Exactly. Dunce Boy.
I love that guy.
Yeah.
I love you, Dave. Where are you, Dave? He's still alive, right?
He's in Miami.
He's
still alive.
Seen him a long
time. Yes, he is. Yep. And so he turned me on to him, and I was just floored. You know, I was getting into the funk, and they're just like, you know, one of the best musicians ever, and I just fell in love with that music, and then going to New Orleans and Jazz Fest and just seeing the whole thing.
Did you walk up on him one day and like, hey, I'm Dave from Baltimore. I really love your stuff.
Dave Geller introduced me to him, and they were looking for a driver down the East Coast to take him on like a little two-week-long tour. So I'd spent a little time with them driving them when I was, you know, just out of college. You know, driving up and down the East Coast and got to hang with Art Neville and George Porter and Russell Batiste and Brian Stoltz. And so, you know, I got to be friends with them and I would bring them to town and promote them. And George played my wedding. And I just fell in love with the music, fell in love with New Orleans culture and the vibe. And, you know, they're a huge part of it.
Do they feel you? They must feel you like you feel them because you've really accepted their music and had the guy play your wedding, so your family to them.
And they treat everybody that's close to them like family, and I think that's just a New Orleans thing. They just have a lot of love. And you know, there's so many musicians down there and they all play together in one big musical family, so there's less competition and less, like, you know, animosity. And yeah, they've treated me like family, and they know that I'm a huge fan. I travel around the whole country to see them, so they respect that.
Did we talk about the incident that happened in New Orleans with
We haven't talked about it, but we can.
How quickly things get pushed off the front page.
Yeah.
It made the football game go back a day.
Secondary.
But it dealt with, not, you know, it's Dave, we've become almost numb to all of these incidences where somebody does somebody wrong or takes a bunch of lives. Here's a guy that went around some barriers with a vehicle and killed a bunch of people in New Orleans, a town that is just having fun.
It's all about good times.
Yeah.
It really hit hard for the people in New Orleans because they take so much pride in entertaining mm-hmm. and hospitality. So to kind of have people die on their watch, it hit hard, you know, because I talked to a lot of people there and the whole town was somber and, you know, it's just sad. It's uncalled for. And obviously, like you said, it gets pushed to the back burner because then we move into the fires in California. And it's a crazy time right now.
And the fires will be on the back burner, no pun intended, but soon because something else will come.
It's a weird time in our country and in this world.
Yeah. Well, I love the fact that so many people really enjoy and appreciate what New Orleans means to the nation. You know, that Cajun, you see that E-A-U-X, mm-hmm. you know, it makes up everything. It's just like, I don't want to get too far off base, but you look at California and some people were excited that things were burning. And I'm like, that's one of the 50 states, man. Did you feel that way years and years ago?
It's changed. And, you know, there's politics and everyone's got different political views. That's one thing. But we're all Americans. We're all humans. That's what should come first and not what your political view is. And so, it's just sad when we're worried about how somebody votes or their political views when their house is burning down. And really, that should be the priority. And, you know, we need to come together as Americans to support each other rather than going at each other's throats for every little thing out there.
You know, when we were really united was after 9/11.
Yeah.
I remember driving away from the radio station, looking in other people's cars going, God, can you believe this is going on?
Yeah.
And standing in my neighbor's yard, who was from Southeast Asia, had everybody with a candle and here, black, white, Asian, Pakistani, all of us standing around with candles. And then it subsided and everybody's like, F you.
Yeah.
So we got to get back to that. But we hopefully do.
Hopefully not with the tragedy, like you said. But yeah, that was one of the good things that came out of that tragedy is that the uniting of America and realizing that people kind of were out to get us and we need to stick together. And, you know, we need that again, you know, without the tragedy, but just bringing our country together.
Real talk on the Mother's Podcast. We got a lot of stuff to get to, man. Orioles, and I'm going to throw you a twist when we get to the Orioles and the Ravens, and we'll see how quickly you can adapt.
Okay.
And we'll move on. I started taping late. I don't know how many minutes that was.
I was around 12.
Okay, that's good. See, I got five, but I can tell. We did about 4 or 5 minutes. Yeah, okay. Yeah. And this time we'll start it right on time. And we're rolling. Exciting times, man. This is what you play football for all season long, is to get into the playoffs. Ravens, as we sit here today, have already taken care of the Pittsburgh Steelers, beat them handily at M&T Bank Stadium, and now they're on the road, Highmark Stadium, coming up on Sunday, 6:30, against the Buffalo Bills, a team they beat 35-10 earlier in the season. What are your thoughts as we sit here today, days away from the game?
Well, you know, recapping the last game, it was our last Purple Patio, so that was an emotional time for me.
Oh, God.
And but it was, you know, it was a great crowd, great turnout. We had a lot of fun. A lot of, you know, old friends came back. And it was a great game. We kicked their ass. We played some great Ravens football, and we looked really good. So that was just exciting. I had a lot of fun. Shout out to Russ from Swag Dog,
who hooked me up. Russ?
So hooked me up with some tickets. So that was nice.
Swag Dog.
Yeah.
Is that a ticketing
merch? Okay. They do merch.
Yeah, yep. Yeah.
And we've been working with him for a long time, and so that it was a great day and had a lot of fun, and got that win which we needed and Lamar needed, and now we're moving on to Buffalo. We beat them. We smacked them down earlier. I think it's going to be a close game.
They're a different team now, Dave, than they were in week four or two.
Yeah, it was early. So are we, though. So are we. That was true. Williams was starting at safety. Eddie Jackson was starting at safety. Like
Simpson was.
Yes, at linebacker. So we made a bunch of changes. Thing is, they aren't built for the run game. I guess they were running they're running like a 4-3, and they don't have big bodies on the line.
They do not.
And so I think that's where, you know, we're going to take advantage. I mean, we ran that jumbo package all day last week, and I think we'll run it again, and I think we'll control the ball and win the game with our running game.
Man, you sound optimistic. Aren't you nervous about how optimistic you sound?
I was nervous last week against the Steelers. I think because of just what? They own.
No way.
Because they play us tough. They know us well. And if we would have lost to them, that would have just hurt. At least now we've got a win under our belts. We're playing as good as we've ever played. I don't think our offense has ever been as strong as it is.
Right.
We don't have a lot of injuries other than Zay. That's a big loss. But I think that our defense is gelling. And, I mean, no one can stop Henry. I mean, King Henry, he's unstoppable.
Did you hear what Jerry Coleman asked in the press conference?
No, but I'm dying to hear.
He wanted to know what Harbaugh thought about the Bills, and Harbaugh pressed him, and he said, well, what do you think? And Coleman said, I think they're a bunch of losers. And it went to Buffalo, and now he's dealing with all these people that are talking about him calling them losers. It's a mess.
Was that this year?
This was 2 days ago.
Okay, because when he used to do the pre-Purple Patio stuff, and a couple years ago when we were playing them in the playoffs, he had said something about Buffalo, and the Bills Mafia wanted to come after him.
Well, the Bills Mafia helped his mom out. She had cancer. They donated money, but he kept a list of everybody that gave money. And you know how it is. Everybody's at the game, the Cal Ripken 21-31 game. Yeah. But it only holds so many people. So many people told him they gave money to his mom, but he kept a record.
Yeah.
So strange. We talked about it today, but interesting. The Bills Mafia, how
they're serious,
they boost people up.
They're serious, but then they'll donate to causes and just you know, do great things. So, I mean, it's not, you know, they won't be coming down here since it's a away game for us, but he gets himself in trouble sometimes, I think.
I got a two-prong question for you. And the first prong is, who are the four Ravens on the Mount Rushmore for the totality of the team? We're talking back to 1995, 96, till now. Your four Mount Rushmore players.
Well, top four Ravens of all time. Ray Lewis, obviously, is probably number one.
Easy, number one.
That's an easy one.
There's an easy number two.
Easy number two is probably Ed Reed.
There's easy number two. There's a sort of easier number three.
Probably easy number three would be Jonathan Ogden.
There's three right there. You get one more, Dave.
Four is a tough one. Four is a tough one. We got, you know, there's obviously Lamar's going to be on there when he wins this Super Bowl. Believe that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Marshall Yanda's, you know, is up there for a Hall of Fame. Suggs, who was in town, you know, and Flacco. And I guess you got to give it to Flacco at this point since he's won a Super Bowl. And
are you kidding me? You're going to put Flacco in front of Suggs?
I think I will, because he's won us a Super Bowl. He was the MVP of that Super Bowl run. And until, you know, Lamar wins the Super Bowl, I think Lamar will replace him.
Incredible. Yeah. All right. Yeah. Ray Lewis, Ed Reed, J.O., T. Suggs. That there's my four.
Yeah.
Let's go deeper. What's your next four? If there was another Mount Rushmore right on the other side of it, who are your next four Ravens on that on there right now?
Next four would be Suggs, Yonda, Lamar. And then the fourth there might be
maybe could you Nada? Put a kicker? You couldn't put
I don't know, maybe Tucker, maybe Tucker, Nada, Tucker, you know.
Jamal Lewis.
Maybe didn't have enough years. Bowler. You know, it's been a lot of good ones.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of good ones. I guess if I had to pick one.
Interesting.
If I had to pick one,
I like I'd going pick deeper Nada. Though. Nada, so you're like, putting Nada on there.
Yeah, I think Nada. We've had some good players over the years, for sure.
No question about it. My fourth, if I got another four, it's going to be Lamar. It's going to be Yonda, because I've already got Suggs on that first one. And then after that, that's when it gets a little sketchy. I guess Joe Flacco. And then either Haloti Ngata or, oh boy, you could put Todd Heap. You could put Mark Andrews. I'm going to put Mark Andrews.
He's having a great year.
Yeah.
He's having a great year.
And he leads the franchise in touchdowns.
Yeah.
And it's a good conversation you should have.
Yes, it is. And we've had some good players, and DaCosta's built a great team.
Yeah.
I mean, and we got a lot of good young players. You know, Hamilton looks like he's going to be a stud for a long time. Zay Flowers. You know, we got a lot of good young talent. Linderbaum. So things are looking good for the future of the Ravens.
It really is. And as we sit here today, the Ravens are 1-point favorites to beat the Buffalo Bills, and the Bills haven't lost at home all season. It's so crazy. Strange. Yeah.
Crazy.
The way things kind of happen, and the Ravens could go up there as 1-point favorites and smoke the Bills. I mean, they beat them 35-10 at home. So you'd say, okay, they're not going to be at home, so they're not going to beat them 35-10. So maybe that is 24-17. I don't know, but I see a Ravens victory.
It's going to be real cold. They said it's going to be about 9 degrees.
You're not going?
I'm not going, because we got the closing party this weekend. But I did make my flight reservations for the Super Bowl in New Orleans, though, knock on wood.
Yeah.
Just to get that locked in. But it's going to be 9 degrees up there. It's not going to be really great conditions to pass. I think that helps us more. And I think, you know, we're just going to run the ball. I mean, I think you can't stop Lamar and Henry when he's doing that RPO and you don't know who's going to get the ball. You pick one or the other, and the other guy goes for 20 yards. I think that's just an unstoppable offense, and I'm feeling really confident.
I was lucky enough to be in Canton for the inductions for Ray Lewis and Ed Reed into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. You probably were there.
I went to Ray's.
Okay. Your thoughts on Marshall Yonda and Terrell Suggs, their first year of eligibility. They're both up for the trip to Canton. Rod Woodson, who's got a bust and a gold jacket, says he thinks Marshall Yonda has a better chance to go in on the first ballot.
Really?
To me, I think it's the other way around. Yeah. Your thoughts on both of those guys and their chances at immortality.
Well, Suggs played a sexier position, got more of the headlines,
that's
the sacks.
That's what Pitta said.
But, you know, Yonda was a pivotal part of our Super Bowl team and, you know, just was a cornerstone of the offense. I love Yonda. I love them both. I feel like Suggs will probably get in first. Yonda, I mean, how many guards are really in? And, you know,
not
it might take a
ballot.
Couple years for him to get in. And Steve Smith said he's up for a finalist again as well. So he's gotten passed over a couple times, but he's up
Anquan
there.
Anquan Boldin, I mean, there's a lot of guys that wore the colors that are up for it. Yeah. Here's a couple of guys that homegrown, you know.
And I keep going back to Art Modell. I think he should be in. I think it's a travesty he's not.
Well, did that guy die yet in Cleveland? No? There's like one or two guys holding him out.
Sports writer? I'm not sure.
Yeah. Looking forward to see if either, both, who gets in and to go to Canton. Do you wear your Ravens colors when you're in other cities?
Yeah.
And how does that go?
Well, it didn't go so well in Oakland for that AFC championship.
Right.
But most of the times they're pretty cool. I mean, we had that, you know, that issue with the Eagles fan this past weekend.
Dude, how
that was
about
obnoxious.
It reminded me of the Ravens fan who that was right outside your place.
Yeah.
Callis was his name, yeah. And he packs a punch.
Yeah.
You can't be doing that to people. You trying to go viral? You want to go to jail?
Yeah. Well, he's still in jail. I mean, you know, that was another, you know, he obviously got violent and beat a couple people up.
Yeah.
The guy, the Eagles fan, just saying rude stuff to a female. I mean, it's just, you know, there's no room for that, no need for that.
In this day and age, there's phones everywhere. Are you crazy?
Yeah.
He lost his job and lost his tickets.
Yeah. Yeah. Deservedly so.
Deservedly so. Hey, we've got Orioles to talk about and also just natural disasters. It's not just wildfires. You look at Asheville, North Carolina. Yeah. That was one of those places that you thought was safe to go to. Anyway, yeah. We got a lot more to talk to. It's a Mother's Podcast. It's Dave Rather, Kirk McEwen, and you. Thanks for joining us on this journey. Appreciate you.
Support for this podcast comes from Mother's Bar and Grill, your neighborhood bar and grill in Timonium and Arnold, Maryland, serving up lunch, dinner, happy hour, and live music, plus special events all year long. Dine in, carry out, or order online for delivery. Visit mothersgrill.com.
Oriole baseball, it's you and your number one beneath the lights or in the sun, having fun together. What do you know about, do you remember that one?
I don't
one?
Remember that at all.
That's going back a ways.
What is that?
So March 27th, Orioles and Toronto opening day in Toronto, 71 days away. Wow. Are you ready?
I'm getting ready. I started looking on their website for tickets today, but they haven't released opening day tickets yet. So, yeah, I'm starting to think about Orioles a little bit, even though we're getting to the end of Raven season.
Gunnar Henderson's like my new favorite player, bro. I love the way he plays the game. He's got skills, man. He jumps in the air and throws that ball. Reminds me of Mark Belanger back in the day.
Yeah.
And the stick.
Super
really
talented.
Yeah.
Super talented. Hopefully we can sign him long term. He's got Scott Boras as an agent, so he's probably going to go to free agency and test the market.
I didn't know Boras was his agent.
Yeah, that hurts. I just hope we don't lose them to
Yankees. To the Yankees. We're almost like the Yankees farm club.
Yeah. So that's going to be sad to lose him, but you never know. Maybe they can, you know, pay him the money and keep him here. We got a lot of, you know, young kids and, you know, a strong nucleus. We don't have that number one ace that we'd like to have, but it seems like we have a lot of number twos, threes. So we have maybe more quantity rather than quality as far as starting pitching.
I was looking at the rotation today, and you tell me on a scale of 1 to 10, Zach Eflin, Grayson Rodriguez, Charlie Morton, Sagano, and
Bradish, hopefully.
Yeah, and Kramer is in there as well. Bradish is still getting it together rehab. Yeah. Does that do it
for you? I mean, it doesn't get me super excited, but I think it could, you know, get us to the playoffs. You know, we've got in it, and if, you know, people take steps, if Rodriguez takes a step up, and he's been injured, if he stays healthy the whole year, takes a step up, you know, we could have two number twos. I mean, Bradish was on the verge of a Cy Young and, you know, thrown around in those conversations. So we have some good potential. We have, you know, a lot of arms, and I wish we had an ace, but I think we're going to have to do with what we have.
Still time to get a trade going and maybe get another stick. What is your thoughts on Tyler O'Neill, outfielder from Boston? He's muscled up. He's spending some time in the weight room.
Yeah, it seems like a decent signing. I mean, I kind of would rather have Santander, but decent signing. They made some good signings, just not, you know, long-term, more stopgaps.
Yeah.
Again, we've got some good young guys coming up from the minors and Cowser's, you know, starting to hit the ball. So I think we got some potential. You know, I'm thinking maybe 89 wins.
I said 90 on the air earlier today. I think they've got the lineup to do somewhere around 85 to 90 wins. I'm always optimistic.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on some of the things that they're planning on doing? Like, well, moving that wall in a little bit. They put it back too far.
Yeah, it's a little weird. You know, they're thinking there. I mean, I guess we lost as many home runs as the other teams. So I think they're worried about maybe signing, you know, free agent hitters now rather than the pitchers. So, you know, if that's what we need to do to get better players, then I'm all for it.
Yeah.
And I really like the fact that they're getting a new video screen and new PA system. I think we really needed a new PA system.
Well, could you tell? I mean, you could tell that the PA system
suffered. For like the playoff games, couldn't hear the announcers a lot. You know, if it's a full crowd and a noisy crowd, you can't, you know, with the PA, you couldn't hear everything all the time.
Is it still the best ballpark in baseball, or has that faded with all these other ballparks? I've heard San Francisco has a nice experience, but I've not been to a Giants game.
I haven't. Been there. They're right on the water. That looks nice. I'd like to go to that. I went to San Diego this summer. That was pretty cool.
Uh-huh.
Right downtown, like Camden Yards. I mean, nothing's like Camden Yards. I mean, it was a pioneer stadium. I love, even if we had a horrible team, I love just going to that stadium. So, I mean, I think we're up there in the top five stadiums in the country, and it's just so unique and different, even though it's a little older and not as brand new as the newer stadiums. It's just got so much character.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I love about it.
Well, David Rubenstein has his own bobblehead. I mean, I don't know much about him. It's a short sample size, but I like everything he's done so far. He's not so overbearing like a Jerry Jones, where as soon as the game's over, that's the first voice you hear. You don't hear much from him, but then you see him spraying people in the stands.
Yeah.
He's got a TV show. I mean, he's on Bloomberg,
yeah.
Which I'm not – that's not something I'm watching much. I'm more sports and music-oriented, but what are your thoughts on his level of involvement, and do you like it? Do you not like it? Are you okay with it?
I love his attitude and his vibe. And he doesn't have a huge ego, even though he's a billionaire. He cares about Baltimore. He cares about winning. And it looks like he wants to have fun and have people be entertained when they come out to the park. So that's all great. I think he's got a breath of fresh air. He's obviously built a strong ownership team, and they're very wealthy. So I feel like we can spend more money. I think the stat was we went from the 31st top payroll to 17th. So that's a big jump in a year.
Oh.
So, you know, so I like all that. You know, he's still dealing with a small market team, so we don't have the revenue to compete with the Yankees in Boston. But I like his vibe. I like what he's bringing to the team. And I like, you know, I feel like the future's bright with him.
Go back in the history of you watching the Orioles and give me maybe an underappreciated, unsung guy who's not Cal Ripken. Or Eddie Murray, but somebody that you thought, that's a good ball player, like that guy.
Gary Renicky was
Gary Renicky, man.
He was awesome. Lowenstein was awesome.
Let it be Lowenstein.
And I mean,
you're Rick, going deep. Going
deep. Yeah. You know, I mean, Rick Dempsey, you know, Baltimore legend.
All right, and keep it within the last 20 years.
Okay. I mean, you know, I mean, Adam Jones. Maybe not under, you know.
I'm going to say Nick Markakis.
Nick Markakis was great. Who's Gausman? You know, was great.
Kevin Gausman.
Yeah, he was awesome. Chris Hoyles.
I was just thinking Chris Hoyles.
He was a lot of fun.
Yeah, you know, and it's those guys that are the glue and the fabric of the team. You can't have all superstars.
True.
It's like a Ramon Urias. Every now and then, that guy gets up and smacks a single or a double when you really need it. Is he somebody that's at the top of your thoughts? No, but that's a guy that makes the wheels spin.
Team. That's what, you know, team's all about. Not everyone's going to be superstars. And, you know, they all, you know, it's a long season, man. Those guys got to be exhausted. They, I think the last 3 months, they don't get a day off, you know, in the entire month.
Yeah.
So they all got to be, you know, the vibe in the clubhouse has got to be really strong for them to stay motivated and together to fight through that long season. So I think having those guys like McCann, who, you know, got hit in the face and came, you know, back out and stayed in the game. The you know, when the rest of the guys on the team see that, they want to jump through a brick wall for him. So I think, you know, guys like that that are unsung, that are the tough guys and the team players, really make the team what it is.
Who do you hate more, the Yankees or the Red Sox?
I'd probably say the Yankees. They just, not me. You know, the Red Sox for you?
It's the Red Sox for me. They're fans. They come over and they take over the stadium still. Yeah. The Yankees, I'm used to.
Yeah.
They just spend so much money. They're trying to buy the World Series this year.
Yeah.
And they couldn't get Soto back. So that helps.
Yeah.
But you got 27 already. Give it a break.
Yeah, it's a little obnoxious. The landscape is a little unfair, I think, in baseball. They don't have salary caps, and, you know, the Yankees can spend three times as much as the Orioles. So it doesn't make it for a great, you know, level playing field. So I think something needs to be changed in that sport to kind of level it out a little bit more, so Yankees can't have a payroll that's three times higher than the small market teams.
Yeah. Babe Ruth from Baltimore. I mean, I don't even know if that matters. Does it matter, Babe Ruth from Baltimore? He's a Yankee, right?
He is a Yankee, but it matters to me. You know, I have a lot of pride in the fact that, you know, he was born in Baltimore, and I think he used to live in Camden Yards, Camden Yards, and still have his house over there, you know, near Pickles. And, you know, watching the movie when he, you know, was playing in Baltimore at St. Mary's and, you know, grew up here, I just, you know, it makes me proud, you know, to have somebody like that, or have somebody like Michael Phelps. Or,
yeah.
You know, that, you know, the people, you know and you know, is an icon.
Man, I watch those Ken Burns documentaries. Have you seen the baseball when it goes? It's like there's eight installments or whatever. And Babe, I take it back. I love the fact that Babe's from Baltimore. I just wish he had the played Baltimore, the Orioles roots, but the Orioles weren't even around at that point. So,
yeah.
Well, here we come up on another season, and I love what Mike Elias is doing. Hopefully,
he's a great GM.
Yeah,
you know, he's really made some good strides. We just signed a new crop of international players today.
Oh, I saw that,
and it seems like they're really starting to grow, some of these young kids, and it seems like that's really going to help our team in the future.
Let's go O's. Let's go O's. Mr.
Let's
Splash.
Go O's.
Right, Mr. Splash? All right. Hey, more to come in the Mother's Podcast rolling on. I appreciate you. Well, Dave, I'm not even sure what to say about the devastation we've seen in California. I've never seen fires that have just indiscriminately wiped out working people's homes, rich people's homes. It's just crazy what we've seen. And not just that, but we'll talk about the fires, but just natural disasters. I mean,
global warming, I guess, you know, it seems like they're more prevalent now than they ever have been. You know, also sad that the insurance industry dropped a lot of those people in Southern California like a week or a month before dropped their fire insurance. So they had it and then they lost it.
How can you do that?
I don't know. I guess they're going to try to put a bill in to restrict that, but that's really going to hurt.
It's hard to get flood insurance in areas where there's big floods.
Yeah.
So do you have any ties to California?
Not really. No, I haven't spent much time there. You know, I really love San Diego. I've visited there a couple times. I've been to L.A., but, you know, it's on the other side of the country. I'm always going south to the islands rather than the West Coast. But it's cool. I love San Diego, and, you know, I wish the best for them. And that's just a real sad situation. And hopefully, I mean, the fires are still burning. And it's still so windy.
Like 17% contained.
Jeez.
There's a long way to go before people – And you know what? People will rebuild. It's like Oklahoma. You know the tornadoes are going to come. They're looking for you.
Yeah.
But if you live there, that's all you know.
Yeah.
What's the scariest natural disaster to you? I mean, because there's a lot to choose from.
There's a lot to choose from. I mean, I lived in Minnesota, and we had tornadoes.
In Minnesota?
In Minnesota, yeah, because the flatlands. And so we'd hide under our bed and, you know, be real scared about that.
I need more than that. I need more than a bed to hide. I need to go down underground like they do in Tornado Alley.
Yeah, tornadoes are scary. Real scary.
Is that the one for you?
I think that's the one for me. That's probably the worst. But those flash floods in Asheville were just crazy, and they came so quickly. There's nothing you can do about it.
Were you here at Trifecta Food Truck and Music Festival the year? It might have been the first year when Ellicott City, storm rolled through. I think they had the water taxis out, and one of those flipped over in the harbor.
Yeah.
And then you had a woman holding on to the light pole in Ellicott City so she wouldn't get swept away. It was crazy.
That was crazy.
That was national, if not international, news.
Yeah. That was, I think it was the second trifecta. And, you know, I remember because it rained off and on that day, and we were able to keep going. We would stop for an hour and, you know, get under tents and then go, you know, start again. But I was driving home from the trifecta on 695, and I was going through one of those overpasses, like on Liberty Road or something, and the 695 had flooded, and there was about 4 feet of water, and cars were breaking down on 695, getting stuck in this water, and I serpentined. The water was up to my hood. So I serpentined through the cars that had broken down. I was
able
to get through it.
What does that even mean, serpentine? Well, there was your way.
I snaked my way because there was one on the left side that was broken down, one on the right side, and the water was coming down. The rain was coming down so fast you couldn't even see. So that was real scary. I made it through, and obviously Ellicott City got crushed that day. And I think it happened twice. It happened another time. But have they solved that? Because it seems
they were
like
working on it. You almost want to bring the Army Corps of Engineers in to fix that. But they've got that water that runs underneath, and when the rains come, it swells, and then it's all hell breaks loose.
Yeah, yeah, that hit home. You know, that's so close to home, and that was scary. And you know, I guess it's global warming now, and just the dryness of Southern California.
So you're one that believes in global warming, this isn't just cyclical. Hey, it happens every year. What do you want?
Well, I think the hurricanes now are so much stronger.
Oh my god!
Like they're setting records.
Yeah,
and the water temperature is warmer now than it's ever been. So there's something to be said about it. The scientists say global warming is a real thing. It seems like it is.
Yeah, glaciers seem to be melting.
Yeah.
Wow. You mentioned North Carolina earlier. What do you know about mudslides?
Well, yeah, it was mudslides. It was these flash floods that were just taking houses and cars. People were on top of their house and getting, taken down the river. And houses were completely destroyed.
And that's an area of the country that you would think would be almost immune to some of these things.
Yeah.
They do studies on where can you go in the United States and be away from tornadoes and maybe not in the brunt or the path of hurricanes. And North Carolina, Asheville, North Carolina, pretty safe place until recently.
Yeah.
When these things start happening. I'll tell you what scares me is the tsunami.
Yeah.
And you don't see them here, but the one that happened about, 10 years ago, where the water just goes that way and you see fish flopping around and the birds and animals are like, let's get out of here.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Scary. And I watched a movie on that and like a documentary. I mean, just the water's so strong and powerful.
Yeah.
Mother Nature, can't mess with her.
Yeah.
When she wants to, wipe, the slate clean, she does it.
Yes. And volcanoes, you can run from the volcano. It's not going to get you right away. Unless you're crazy,
you know it's coming.
Yeah, you know that's going to happen. Yeah. But again, that's something.
The flash flood, it happened in minutes. They, you couldn't prepare. That was just sad. And it seems like they still need a lot of support there, that now it's gotten cold and a lot of people don't have electricity or housing.
Yeah. How are you with snow? We had a little snow around here.
We did pretty good. You know, I've got a long driveway, so I got to have mine plowed.
Yeah.
And we were able to get that done. And
life is good when you got that long driveway. Yeah, yeah. How do you feel about Baltimoreans putting the chairs out, maybe with a broom or whatever? You've cleaned off an area. You know, this is your parking spot. And then you go to work, somebody comes and parks in your spot.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that warrants some summer chairs and maybe a broom that you don't use that often.
You know, you spend all that time, especially when we had those blizzards and those, you know, couple feet of snow, it would take you hours to clean it out. So if it's in front of your house and you cleaned it out, you should be able to reserve it.
But yeah.
I don't know what the technical rule is for that and if people move your chairs, but I think it's justified.
Do you remember February 2010? It was blizzard. And then like 3 or 4 days, a blizzard again up here. That was the whitest Black History Month we ever had. That was crazy.
That was fun. That was fun. We were open at Mother's, and, you know, that's when we would have these snow parties. And DJ Kopech would come down with his PA system and just set up inside Mother's. And people wouldn't leave for like 10 hours. They're eating lunch there, dinner there. And those are some of the funnest days.
How about DJ Kopech blew it up during the pandemic?
Yeah.
Went worldwide. He was doing these parties, virtual parties.
Millions.
Yeah.
Millions, 3 million views in a week or something like that.
How surreal was COVID? You look back and you're wearing masks. You're washing your hands a bunch of times a day, and you're not seeing it. Socially distancing, 6 feet.
Yeah.
Can you imagine? We've made it through. And we've effed our kids totally up.
It's like a bad dream. You know, you think back, did that really happen? And it's hard there's a time warp, like, you know, everything that happened before COVID or after COVID, it all gets mixed together, and the timing is messed up.
Did you think you were gonna die? Did you ever?
I didn't think I was gonna die. I thought I was gonna have to file bankruptcy because I wasn't gonna be able to open my restaurants. So that was a little scary.
Oh my God, Dave.
That was a scary time, but I got to tell you, we closed our restaurants for 6 weeks and I didn't have anything to do.
Oh.
And we just hung at the house and played Nerf battles with my kids and I really had a great time and just got to, you know, relax
family.
And spend time with the family. And I would have stayed closed longer if, you know, they hadn't come out with the PPP and forced us, you know, to get open again. But we were closed for 6 weeks. And I say, you know, even though it was a stressful time, it was one of the most relaxing and fun times I had.
Did you get money to distribute to, like, some people got money and did wrong things with it and got in trouble?
Yeah.
Bands and things. I think Shinedown got a bunch of money to give to the people that worked for them and kind of held.
They didn't do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we got supported by the federal government. You know, it was kind of unbelievable, you know, the kind of support they gave us. Luckily, we were able to stay open because we were already doing delivery and we're a, you know, fast casual concept and quick food. So it made it good for carry out. And so we were doing a lot of business. Plus, we got supported by the Fed. So, you know, that worked out. But it was just a crazy time and you know, trying to run the three restaurants with skeleton crews
because
we lost a lot of our people and, you know, the rules changed every day. So, you know, once we got open, it was a real hectic time wearing the mask, you know, changing the rules every day and just, you know, the staff would call out every day because they got sick or COVID and their mom got COVID and we're just being able to stay afloat and keep the business going. And, you know, we were lucky enough to make it through.
We
made it, but it was hard.
Well, listen, people, the COVID, that's over.
It's over.
In the rearview mirror. Go out to Mother's North. Go out to Mother's Peninsula and get you something. Sit down and embrace your friends and family. Get something to eat. It's a place you can feel at home. Thanks for keeping these other two going, man.
My pleasure.
And I know there's more to come.
There's more to come.
Yeah. And there's more to come on the Mother's Podcast.
Good talking to you.
Yeah, always.
Thank you, Kirk.
We'll do it again.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.